Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Ahmadou. Welcome to Health Chat. In 2017, 291 million people were infected with malaria. 435,000 of them died, the majority children under five, in sub-Saharan Africa. Malaria continues to be a public health problem in many African countries. In Uganda, some schools have been used as a way to change the culture around malaria, a unique approach to fight the disease. We will discuss malaria on the program today with an emphasis on Uganda. Joining us in the studio for more is Ms. Ruth Kigozi. Ms. Kigozi is Monitoring, Evaluation and Learning Advisor with the U.S. President Malaria Initiative, PMI's Malaria Action Program for Districts Malaria Consortium. Ruth, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Linud.
Great to have you. Also joining us in the studio is Biona Eriachim Ntairaho. I can say that. He's headmaster of the Walioba Primary School, a malaria smart school. Mr. Ntairaho, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And last but not least is Dr. Jimmy Opigo, Assistant Commissioner for the National Malaria Control Division at the Uganda Ministry of Health and National Malaria Control Program Manager. Dr. Opigo, it's so good to have you with us.
Thank you, and good evening, listeners.
Wonderful. So good evening, listeners. As Dr. Opigo said, we hope you are ready for this journey because today it's all about malaria and we are going to learn from a country such as Uganda that has seen some improvement this past 2 years, Dr. Opigo, 30% reduction in malaria cases. That's very good in 2 years. How did you do that?
We are all very excited at the progress which Uganda is registering. Cases have gone down, deaths have gone down. We have had a major focus on prevention, led mostly by the communities and the households. We have encouraged them through different approaches to adapt methods of preventing being bitten by mosquitoes and avoiding them, but also breeding. But this has been supported by various other interventions. And this includes promotion of distribution and promotion of mosquito net use, spraying of households, but also treating all cases which come up very, very promptly before they complicate and kill people.
Yes, and there are different interventions that are definitely encouraged to fight malaria. Yet we still have people out there being affected with malaria. When we hear that most of the victims are children under five, it's really heart-wrenching. Speaking of children, Mr. Ntairaho, you are a school teacher,
yes.
A school at the Walioba Primary School, a teacher there. First of all, talk to us about how malaria has affected your children.
Yes, thank you very much. Before this program, we would find children lying in the compound, under trees, suffering from malaria, and we couldn't tell. There was a high rate of absenteeism in my school. There was even late coming by both pupils and the teachers. We used to teach science in our school, but the topics were not about malaria. But currently now we are handling topics which are related to malaria, and we had very little knowledge. Then there was high expenditure in treatment by both the school and the parents, the community where these children come from, because they were treating what we didn't know. All of us used to treat what we didn't know.
Oh, wow. Please. That's interesting to see. And when we talk about malaria, Ms. Kigozi, it's something very concrete. Sometimes those of us who are reporters, we give numbers. We talk about, the symptoms and this, how many people die and everything. But for those of you who work on the ground, you see the devastation of malaria every day. And you are heading the program on behalf of the Prison Malaria Initiatives. But before we get into that, you are coordinating the program. But before we get into that, talk to us about why it is so important to put malaria on the forefront when it comes to really addressing healthcare system.
Thank you, Lynette. First of all, malaria is a big problem. It's a very big problem in sub-Saharan Africa and in Uganda. For example, in Uganda, we see over 7 million cases of malaria reporting to the health facilities. That alone is a big burden to the health facilities. So it's a big problem. And on top of that, for example, in the last year, we are seeing over 3,000 deaths that are due to malaria. So it's a problem that we all need to join in and fight. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So then, as I mentioned earlier in my introduction, malaria schools, malaria smart school. Dr. Opigo, what is a malaria smart school?
Now, malaria smart school is an effort we have put in place to have schools which are safe for children, to have practices in the home so that the children can learn uninterrupted from malaria. Now, in a malaria endemic place like Uganda, a child can have over 10 bouts of malaria in a year. Wow. And in each of these situations, they can lose 1 week of school. So it seriously affects schools. And so we felt one action to promote education is to protect children from school. From malaria. But beyond that, we had also wanted to build a culture of malaria prevention at the early age among the kids so that they have a lifelong culture of malaria safe practices. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, we had wanted also to utilize the school kids as influencers, as change agents. So a malaria smart school is one which has those practices which keep kids safe and which is also a shining example for the rest of the community.
That's fantastic. So kids are being change agents. Ms. Ntahirahu, how does this translate with your children? How are the change agents in the community?
Yeah, first of all, these children, we have what we call malaria corners in our classes. They have messages talking about malaria issues. The children themselves are free now to express on their own. You come, if you are a visitor in the school, the first question, if you enter the class, they will be able to ask you. They will greet you and then ask you about whether you have a mosquito net. They will ask you questions, whether the children sleep under mosquito nets. Do they have methods they use? That kind of method. They have also, because we have a malaria club, school club.
Wow.
They make outreach programs. We go out to sensitize the communities, talk about malaria, and tell them malaria is a disease that kills if not well managed. And we are fighting malaria to zero level. That's our target, you see. Mm-hmm. They have also helped us they manage the community by telling them where mosquitoes can breed from. Stagnant water, draining water, and whatever sources of breeding.
Yes.
So they are really creating, change of agents. They have drama groups. We go out for that.
Okay.
When we're handling the outreach programs. So there are a number
of
things.
So art is part of it and they're doing other things.
Yes.
That's really fascinating, Ms. Kigozi. So the Prison Malaria Initiatives programs are centered mostly in sub-Saharan Africa, the big picture, right? Now, talk to us about what is being done on the ground through this malaria smart school. And what is happening in the communities beyond the school even?
Okay. First of all, we want to say a very big thank you to the U.S.'s President's Malaria Initiative. The efforts and the resources they put in the fight against malaria in our country is really overwhelming, and we are very grateful. They support a number of interventions. They support scale-up of proven interventions. Mm-hmm. For example, they support the distribution and use of the mosquito nets in the homes. They support prevention of malaria in pregnancy. They support the bit where the someone goes in the households and they spray such that the mosquitoes do not get to bite the people who are staying in the household. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they also support community interventions. For example, in the districts where we work, they support the village health clubs. Mm-hmm. Village health clubs are clubs that are at the lowest level, the village, the lowest level of administration in the country is the village.
Yes.
So they are village health clubs that meet regularly, mm-hmm, to talk about malaria, mm-hmm, not just talk about what is happening. They ask their neighbors, are you children sleeping under a mosquito net?
Yes.
There's an epidemic. Malaria is starting to increase. What can we do as a community to curb it? That level of engagement at the community, they also support that. Yes.
Wow, that's impressive. And Dr. Opigo, I mean, observers say that fighting malaria, of course, there are tools like mosquito nets and everything, but from what Ruth has described and all of you really up until now, it's really the importance of communities engagement. Because observers say that when it comes to fighting malaria, behavior change is a big part of it. Talk to us about it and how that is so critical.
Now, in the transmission of malaria, mm-hmm, there are a number of factors and players. There is the mosquito, there is the parasite, there is the human being, there is the environment. Now, the human being has to have some habits and practices which expose them to the mosquito. And therefore, beyond fighting mosquitoes and beyond fighting the parasite, we need people to adapt some behaviors and practices which keep them safe. Actually, public health is so dependent on appropriate human and community practices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the case of malaria, the most important thing is for all individuals, households, communities to make an effort not to be bitten by a mosquito. Now, so bite prevention is core.
Mm-hmm.
It involves so many things. It involves making sure mosquitoes don't breed in your environment. It involves making sure mosquitoes don't get to your house because most of them actually feed in the night.
Yes.
So just simple things like closing windows, screening your windows. While in the house, it is so important for people to sleep inside mosquito nets. Now, the government and partners like the U.S. President's Malaria Initiative make the nets available.
Mm-hmm.
But then it depends on the people to every day consistently use it. So part of our program is so involved in building the appropriate community behaviors,
mm-hmm,
and very sustainably. And where malaria has been defeated, it is mostly individual effort. But beyond avoiding catching malaria, it is also very important that once people catch malaria, they seek care quickly, within 24 hours, because it can quickly progress to severe forms which kill. But after treatment, you need to then make sure that the rest of the house is checked and made free, because the source of infection is in the house and the contacts are also already in that house. So it is a household effort.
Yes.
It is a community effort.
Mm, that's such a good point, definitely. So, Ms. Ntahiro, when you were explaining what the Malaria Smart School entails, it seems like there's a lot of activities which are very, very exciting, it sounds like. Now, how do you combine the role of the kids as change makers and then their studies and the school time? How did you make the adjustment? How much time is given to being a malaria agent out there or doing changing behavior or cleaning the environment, and how much time do they have remaining for school? I'm sure that school is the most part of the day, but how do you combine this? Just for people to understand that it's possible.
Yeah, one good thing, as I said, the Malaria Smart School, one, it has, mm-hmm, helped in changing the attitude.
Okay.
Now, that's because we have a positive attitude and the community is developing that positive attitude to support the learners. We have all programmed, we have programmed our activities.
Okay.
So we make sure we timetable our activities when we are to go out for outreach programs.
Okay.
We have programmed activities and that's how we carry out alongside their studies.
Okay, so it doesn't
It doesn't affect because mm-hmm. it is even helping us because we have integrated it in our subjects.
Yes.
So there is integration. Okay. The method of teaching has completely changed.
Makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is great, and I'm really enjoying this conversation. And you? So, I think when it comes to malaria, any tips and advice and experiences can always help, and even other countries too can duplicate this model. So we will continue our discussion on Uganda fighting malaria and some lessons learned, and we'll be right back for more. It's time for a break. Don't go away. We'll be back.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing malaria with an emphasis on Uganda. Our guests are Ms. Ruth Kigozi. Ms. Kigozi is with the U.S. President Malaria Initiative, PMI's Malaria Action Program for District's Malaria Consortium. Mr. Biona Eriachim Ntairaho is headmaster of the Walioba Primary School, a malaria smart school. And Dr. Jimmy Opigo is with the Uganda Ministry of Health and National Malaria Control Program Manager. So, Ms. Ruth Kigozi,
yes.
Talk to us about the experiences, lessons learned in the process as programs such as Malaria Smart School are being implemented in districts, in communities. What are some of the experiences or challenges or even lessons learned in the process?
Okay. So the fight, thanks for asking the question, actually. The fight against malaria is not ending tomorrow. Mm. It's not ending in the next 1 year. It has to be a continued, concerted effort to make sure that if we are to eliminate, we actually engage. Like you switch on something and you maintain your finger at the switch. You can't get your finger off the switch. So, to me, when we think through this, that's the biggest challenge. Mm. We have to ensure that we have switched on. So you have to maintain the finger on the switch.
Mm. Yes. Wow. Mm. Okay. And maintaining the finger on the switch, what does it look like when it comes to malaria control?
What does it mean?
Dr. Opigo?
Yes, Dr. Opigo, sure.
What does it look like?
So sustained action.
Okay.
Really, that's a sustained action. Mm. We need to constantly have people sleep under mosquito nets
mm-hmm.
throughout the year, wherever they go, wherever they stay.
Exactly.
And services, 24-hour services in at every level, from the tertiary level to the community level,
mm-hmm.
including referral, and then a logistic system which ensures medicines are there all the time, human resource to treat people is there all the time. So it's a sustained, so it's really talking about a working health system.
Yes.
It's talking about a resilient community behavior. You can't say, okay, I can sleep under nets maybe for 1 month, and thereafter I take a holiday. So it's a long time fight,
yeah.
Not only for Uganda but also the neighboring countries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until when we eliminate this problem.
Yeah, that's really, really important. And Mr. Ntairaho, I'm curious to find out, now that you have change makers among your students and this, you are a malaria smart school.
Please.
What kind of impact have you seen?
Yeah, the number of them, I could mention a few. One is change in attitude.
Okay.
Towards the sick child. Today, when you come to that school, you'll see the teachers and the learners are very positive towards that. And our method of communication, which has helped us, because the same program has helped us to narrow the gap between the school community and the health workers. We are no longer having children who are having self-medication,
mm-hmm.
because now the health workers, the gap has been narrowed, and they keep visiting schools and sharing, especially with our school.
Okay.
Then we have also noticed an increase in school attendance and the time of reporting at school. In the past, it used to be different.
Okay.
We would fail to start our lessons on time,
oh.
and therefore the syllabus coverage would also be affected.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen that the school students have proven themselves to be powerful change agents,
okay.
to the community. Hmm? When it comes to malaria prevention, as I said, they are able to speak out.
Okay.
And they tell you we have to fight malaria to zero level. You see?
Okay.
And they have also, the program has also supplemented the Minister of Education efforts, especially in the curriculum. We'll teach science. But as I said, we had limited knowledge about that.
Okay.
Now we are handling this subject with the practical skills because we have been trained.
Yes.
When the program first came, it trained us. And we sold the same idea. And therefore, many people are really embracing the idea. They love the idea because it is helping us as teachers also to become more resourceful and even use, mm-hmm. as I said, we are integrating our lessons. Learn, do it more practical, where the learners are also involved. And it becomes very lively and practical, you know, in the class. The lessons become enjoyable.
Very, very interesting. Yeah. Dr. Opigo, I think this model is, I mean, if you're seeing a positive result, as Mr. Ntairaho has described, maybe this model not only can be copied by other countries, but even within the country, maybe for other diseases, the conditions, don't you think? Maybe,
yeah.
Is it far-fetched to think that way?
It's not, absolutely. The school-going kids, especially those in elementary, are
mm-hmm.
very important. They're in formative ages. That is where you impart appropriate behaviors,
mm-hmm.
whether in sexual and productive health,
yes.
whether in practices of water and sanitation and hygiene. So that this is the right time. This is the right approach. And the ministry realized actually that a school is a unique group which has to be approached separately,
mm-hmm.
and therefore has focused on it. But quickly, apart from schools, there are other sectors we also realize needed to be made smart, malaria smart. For example, tourism. A lot of visitors, including from the US here,
mm-hmm.
and other places who come to visit our countries, will not like to catch malaria.
No.
So we need to make malaria-free and malaria smart hotels, for example.
Okay.
The military, for example, also operate not in houses. They are in deployment,
mm-hmm.
outside, where we need also a unique approach for them, because for them it may not be mosquito nets necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they are in combat, they're in deployment.
Okay.
So apart from schools, we are having also a unique program,
mm-hmm.
for that group.
Okay.
Also in agriculture. So we brought up this approach because we realize a one-size-fits-all approach will not make us defeat malaria. There will be unique groups depending on people's lifestyle, depending on people's occupation, and manner in which they travel. So, but the school one is a very special one. We like to sell it to the whole school.
Yes.
I mean, to and the whole country and to the whole world.
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds very good. And Ms. Kigozi, so how is PMI's supporting this effort, especially to see more malaria schools, malaria smart schools within the countries?
No, thank you. The U.S. President's Malaria Initiative believes in the model.
Mm-hmm.
He believes in the model. It has supported the model in the districts where we work, that is over 48 districts. We, like, for example, the example that we are seeing of Walioba Primary School,
yeah.
The U.S. Presidential Malaria Initiative has, the way they operate is that they introduce the for example, in the school, we introduced the distribution of the nets, mosquito nets, to particular classes in a school.
Okay.
Yep. So after, before you even distribute the net, you do a training. You train the teachers, you train the learners or the pupils on net use, mm-hmm. on why we are giving the nets, what is expected to be used as the net. So all that is a support that we are getting from the organization.
Okay.
And then we are expecting that trickles down to the community, as he has explained.
Yes. And Dr. Opigo, how does one school become a malaria smart school?
Now, a malaria smart school is that which bears the characteristics of protected children, empowered children, change agents. So a school will only be designated malaria smart when the school has adapted this into the syllabus, teaches the children, provide nets for the children. If it is a boarding school, the dormitories are sprayed, has treats people who get malaria,
mm-hmm.
Because most schools have a sick bay with a nurse, and has linked up with the health center so that the health center supplies medicines to that school. And should there be need for referral to a health center,
mm-hmm.
they have established a relationship of a fast-track line,
mm-hmm.
so that the kids are attended to very, very fast. In other words, a malaria smart school is that which makes sure the kids are not deterred from attending school,
mm-hmm.
because of malaria. Either
okay.
they prevent occurrence of malaria, but whenever it occurs, it is quickly treated and the kids are not affected from the education.
Okay, and we have about a minute, and I will give this to you, to Mr. Ntahiraho. We're talking about Malaria Smart School. I will call you a Malaria Smart teacher.
Please.
So
please.
What are your thoughts when you look at this program, how it has impacted your children, and what are your thoughts in terms of spreading it around the country? What do you hope to see?
Yeah, I believe once this program continues like that, because one, our children, as we have said, they are change agents, but also we know that once that one takes place or they continue that program, we shall have changed the generation to come. Then another one have said we intend to sustain the same program using talking to the religious leaders,
mm-hmm.
to give us platform,
okay.
so that our learners are able, religious leaders and these other congregation and whatever, so that they are able to continue expressing themselves, sensitizing the community, freely talking about malaria issues. And then at the end of the day, we shall be able to convert every person and chase malaria to zero.
Absolutely. Thank you. Did you want to say something in 1 second? I saw you getting close to the microphone.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, very quickly.
I want to tell the world that, yes, we can do it, and we are doing
yes.
it.
Wonderful.
Please.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kigozi, Dr. Opigo, Mr. Ntahiraho, for joining us today. And I'm your host, Lino Mudu, in Washington, with producer Bonsa Tufa. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is VOA News. I'm Liz Palka. Iranian officials dismissing new U.S.